it seems I can hardly go, but still I see victory. And at times I'm walking by faith, and I can't see what lies before me, but still
can sing it, say it, believe it with a fervency, because the devil cannot cross the bloodline. Hallelujah. It's comforting to know, it's comforting to know today that we're protected by the precious blood of Jesus. We're accepted in the beloved by the blood of Jesus. We're identified in hell and heaven by the blood of Jesus. We belong to Him. We have been purchased with a price. Aren't you glad today that you're not standing in your own righteousness? You're not going to stand before God in your own holiness. You stand in His righteousness, in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the name of the Lord. I'm excited about what the Lord is doing in these last days. You know we're in the last days. You know that we are living in the last days, and it's amazing to see all the prophecies being fulfilled. I believe that God has chosen this generation. We are expected by God to do everything that we can do as the church, to go into the world, preach the gospel, to live with a fervency, a faith, believing God. He's coming back soon. He's coming back for a church, a bride that's looking, expecting Him to come back. Amen. At this time, we're going to dismiss all of our children, age 5 to 11, to Children's Church. All the children, age 5 to 11. That's some big 11-year-olds back there. Caleb, he's helping back there. I know what you were thinking, so I went ahead and said it. If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to the book of Joel, chapter number 2. Give you an update while you're turning there. We have our electrical almost completed on the second and third floor of our building. Plumbing's finished. And we just got to tap a few loose ends, and we're going to be finishing up that second and third floor. Challenge you to come to the prayer rooms. We have a men's prayer room on this side of, it's your right, my left, and then the women's prayer room. They're identified on the outside of the doors before each service. You're going to see these rooms converted over to school classrooms, but they're still prayer rooms. You can use the seats that they're going to be sitting in to pray in, but we have no choice. Because of the fact that we are growing so much, we've had to create another classroom and then another classroom. So we're excited about that, but it's just part of growing pains, and we've had that throughout the years, and it's been exciting. It's been a little bit nerve-wracking and exciting at the same time. So we're just going to have to make do with the space we have, but we will soon be out of these prayer rooms when we get the new facility completed. Joel chapter number 2 and verse number 25. And I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten, the canker worm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to gather in the sanctuary with those of like precious faith. We ask you, Lord, for that precious anointing that makes preaching effective. Lord, I pray you'd anoint these lips of clay, anoint every ear in this house and those watching by Facebook that we can hear what the Holy Ghost would say to us. I pray for an entrance of the Word of God, this living Word, this infallible, inerrant, eternal Word. Let it find a place, a lodging in our hearts. Let it transform us by the power of Jesus. And we ask you in the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone said, amen. I'm going to preach to you this morning on the thought, the God who restores the wasted years. The God who restores the wasted years. I believe every born-again Christian can look back over their past life and see things that we wish we hadn't have done. I can think back to being what I used to be. I wish I had never gone that route. I wish I had never gone down that path, done the things I did, made the decisions that I made. I have a whole lot of regret. I know all of us in this house can look back over our past life and see and wish that we had not done things that we had done. Even since we've been saved, you know, all of us have made mistakes, even in our Christian life. There's been years throughout all the years you've served God, maybe months or years, that maybe you weren't backslid away from God, but you were complacent. Maybe you were prayerless. Maybe you made some bad decisions in your family, and you look back and you say, man, look at all those wasted years. I believe every one of us in this house today, whether you're a Christian or you are a backslider or someone who's never known the ways of God, you can look at your past and say, man, there's so many wasted years. I wish I had not gone down that path. What can we have done during those years different? I think back to I did have a lot of influence in high school, but it wasn't a good kind of an influence. I was a bad influence, and I pulled people away from God. I mean, even those who had an experience with God, I made it a priority to see if I could cause you to stumble. And I think back to my life. I'm ashamed of what I used to be, and I think and I wonder what it must have been like, or what could I have done if I had influenced people in a different direction. And all I can think about when I think of my high school years is wasted years. If I was on fire for God, if I was burning with a passion, I could have led so many to Jesus. How many people today are in hell because of all of my wasted years? I don't know if you have felt that way here recently, but I can tell you I've counseled enough people in this church and outside of this church, and I can even see it written on their face. Oh, there's so many of us who go through things and we look back and we have past regrets, the could haves, the should haves, the would haves. If I could just go back, but I can't go back. It's wasted time, wasted years. Listen, think these things at some point in time in our life. We all think about past regrets. Why did I do this? Why did I do that? I was so foolish. And now the time is gone, and you can never get it back. Don't be discouraged today, because it's going to end a whole lot better than it started. Money you can get back. You can restore money. Property can be restored. Old cars can be restored. Old houses can be restored. Relationships can be restored. But time. Once time is gone, it's gone. And that is a truth. And that's a principle. We preach on it. We talk about it. The value of time. And we all have so much time, and we must spend that time wisely. But what about when we look back and all the mistakes we've made, the wasted years, the wasted decisions? Oh, listen, don't be discouraged today, because I can tell you something. God, the God of miracles, the God that created the heavens and the earth, He can cause everything that's wasted to come back to life. He can restore that which the devil has destroyed. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, that's the kind of how far into sin you've gone. My God is a restoring God. He knows how to restore the years that the locust and the cankerworm have eaten. Yes, time can never be gotten back. But the word of the Lord in our text makes it very clear in Joel chapter 2 and 25. This word gives us hope. You see, the nation of Israel was in sin. This prophecy speaks and is directed to three types of people, or three different groups. It's the nation of Israel, number one. It's directed to the church. And it's also directed to you and I as an individual in the body of Christ. What's going on here? The people of God had entered into sin. You see the pattern from the Old Testament all the way to the New. God loves His people, but whenever you enter into sin, His judgments will come upon you. Why does He do this? Because God loves us so much, and He understands that sometimes He's got to afflict us and bring judgments upon us to wake us up, to arrest our hearts again, and to get us on a path heading towards eternity. Yes, God cares about the little things. Yes, He wants you to have a good life. He wants you to prosper. He sees the number of hairs that are on your head, and He sees every sparrow that falls. But make no mistake about it, ladies and gentlemen, God cares more about the eternal things than He does the temporal things. I said it Wednesday night. If He has to cause an affliction to come your way, He will bring an affliction to get you on a street called straight. Ladies and gentlemen, I've got to get to heaven. I've got to make heaven my home. If I have to be afflicted in this life, if I have to go through trials and adversities, so be it. Let them come. I want to get to heaven, and I want God's perfect work to be done in my life. What's going on is Israel, God's beloved, had entered into sin. So God brings a judgment. God brings a judgment upon Israel. God's people had suffered the complete destruction from these insects because of sin. The destruction of their entire harvest through the swarms of locusts that marched like an insect army through the field, destroying the crops, multiplying their number as they went. Completely destroyed. God's people were brought to their knees in more than one way because of this judgment. And the prophet Joel is describing what also happens to a person who repents or enters into sin and then repents of that sin. You see, they had entered into sin, but God sees their repentant heart, Israel. And he says, Israel, because you repented, because you humbled yourself, because you came to me, I'm going to restore everything that's been destroyed in your life. Listen to me. If that doesn't make you want to shout today, I don't know what would make you want to shout. Listen, God not only saved them, but he says, I'm going to restore the years that the locust and the cankerworm have eaten. You were once being devoured by an army of evil spirits who moved in on you to consume everything you had. Joel likened these spirits of destruction to locusts, palmer worms, caterpillars, canker worms. These insects are known destroyers, devouring everything decent and good. You've seen sin. You've seen the effects of sin. Maybe you cannot see the sin itself, but because of sin, you can see the effects of it. Sin is a destroyer. It destroys homes. Listen, those that are casual drinkers and say, well, I can just sip a little alcohol. I don't believe in sipping saints, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to tell you something. One sip leads to another sip. I've seen the alcohol destroy too many marriages. I've seen alcohol cause men to beat their wives and to use that money to buy things. Sin is a killer, and we must realize the canker worm wants to destroy. We allow little things in, and those little things become big things until it consumes us like a cancer. Repentance is our only hope, but repentance is the key, and God welcomes repentance. Are you a sinner today, or are you a saint today? Don't ever stray too far from repentance. Always come to God. Let the Holy Ghost do its work, and let him work deep within you. Oh, listen, we need to repent of our sin, turn from the sin, and God will begin to restore the years the locust and the cankerworm have eaten. This entire chapter has been misinterpreted as being a godly army of soldiers going forth to fight the Lord's battle. If you study this out, this is not God's army. This is an army from God to come and afflict the people of God. Do you hear me? This is God sending the locust and the cankerworm. He's trying to get his people's attention. His rod, demonic army, sound the alarm in Zion. Warn them, warn God's people that this army is coming to bring darkness and destruction. At first, it's a picture of unrepentant people of whom the enemy came in like a flood. There is no defense from sin. Listen, whenever sin enters in, the hand of God's protection is lifted, and you are susceptible to every unclean and hateful bird. What is the protection of the people of God? Stay on the other side of the bloodline. Amen. Oh, listen, what we need to do is stay right, walk in the word of God, keep his word. It's a dangerous thing to cross the bloodline. God loves us so much that he will allow the locust and the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm to come in and to bring affliction in your life, because he loves you so much. The destructive evil spirits are well governed and on a march without breaking rank. And no matter how many times the sinner tries to resist, the army keeps on coming. Anyone who was once bound by a satanic habit knows this. If you've ever been bound by some kind of a habit that you cannot break, some kind of a stronghold in your life, you understand the locust and the cankerworm. You understand what it does to you physically as an individual, and you also understand what it does to your family in all of your life. Listen, I've looked in the eyes of too many people that are on drugs. I've seen beautiful women turn into women who look like they're 30 years older than what they are because of methamphetamines. It all started because they were discouraged. Maybe something happened in their life, and then they wanted a fix. Maybe they had an accident this morning, and they got on pain medicine, and then one thing led to another thing, and then they got on drugs. And I'm going to tell you, the locust and the canker worm destroyed everything that they had. Maybe that man at work, he began to flirt with someone of the opposite sex, and one thing led to another, and it destroyed his home. It's a tragedy. But I'm going to tell you today, through true repentance, through the blood covenant, God can turn the whole thing around. He can cause the tree to begin to blossom again. He can cause fruit to come on that tree. Listen, sin is not final, because God is a merciful God. He's a God of second chances, of third chances. That's the kind of God that we serve. We understand that sin will cause destruction. In this picture in Joel chapter number 2, we see the devil is destroying everything. Oh, listen, I remember what it was like to be bound by the shackles of sin. I couldn't get free. I would remember back in the early 90s crying myself to sleep at night. I wanted to be free from the things that held me captive, but I couldn't get free. I wanted to be delivered. I wanted to be a Christian if I could be a Christian that was overcoming, and I wouldn't continuously go back to that sin that held me captive. And I can tell you, time and time again, I would watch the results of that sin and how it had an effect on my friends and my family and my physical body. Oh, listen to me. That's what the devil wants to do. He wants to destroy you. He wants to enter into your family. He wants to dismantle that husband and wife. If he can dismantle that husband and wife, he can have unforgiveness and bitterness in the hearts of those children. And you can watch the effects of that locust and the canker worm throughout the years. Oh, husband and wife, I implore you today, listen, don't allow divorce to come into your mind. What if I have been of second chances? He'll forgive you, and he'll still restore the years that the locust and the canker worm have eaten. But don't ever allow divorce to come into your vocabulary. Don't you dare make that an option. You got to get your mind made up that you're going to love, you're going to forgive. Do you hear what I'm saying? Well, Brother Matt, you have no idea what I'm going through. Well, listen, I don't know, but I can tell you he knows. And I can tell you that I've sinned a great sin against the Almighty God, yet he still forgave me. And we must forgive one another. We must not hold grudges. If you let the sun go down on your wrath, you're going to live in a state of bitterness. But what we must do is forgive, then forgive again. Oh, listen, if you don't forgive your brother, your sister, your husband, your wife, God's not going to forgive you. That's the word of the Lord. God sent his judgment, but through repentance, God begins to restore. God then shows what his mercy looks like. Do you want to know what God's mercy looks like? It's beautiful. It's mind-blowing. It's different than anything that we've ever seen. They had sinned, so he sent the judgment, the army of these insects that were eating everything, destroying everything. What the locust didn't eat, the caterpillar ate. What the caterpillar wouldn't eat, the palmer worm ate. I'm telling you, they'd go through these fields and they would wipe them out within hours. That's exactly what the enemy wants to do. And here the Lord says, through true repentance, what the enemy has completely devoured, what he's destroyed, I'm about to bring back. I'm about to restore. Oh, you say, Brother Matt, is it true? Could it really take place? You bet your life it could take place. I'm telling you, God is a merciful God. As we look at this passage in Joel chapter 2 and 28, it literally is translated like this: I will make up to you the years the locust, the canker worm, the caterpillar, and the palmer worm hath eaten. What do you mean by that? Make up to you? How can God make something up to somebody when he did nothing wrong? You mean to tell me that I'm the one that sinned. I'm the one that allowed this thing to come upon me and bring destruction. Listen, we're all free moral agents. The devil didn't make me do anything. Listen, I have a choice. I'm the one that went that route. I'm the one that willingly allowed that sin to enter into my heart. And God's saying, I'm going to make it up to you. Those years that you were in sin, how can that be that God's going to make up to me what I deserved in sin? That's how the word of the Lord in Joel 2 and 28 is translated. Make it up to me. Listen, I'm the one God today. I think, I'm just glad I'm saved. I'm just glad I'm going to escape the wrath which is to come. Listen, if he did nothing for me right here, right now, I'm just glad that my name is written in the Lamb's book of life. I'm glad today that he saved a wretch like me. God doesn't have to do anything for me. He doesn't have to heal my body. He doesn't even have to supply any of my needs, but he does anyway. God, that's the kind of God that we serve. Listen, God, all we want is God to save us and to keep us in his safety and to forgive us. But God goes much further than just forgiving you. He says, I love you so much. Oh, since you have repented of your sin and turned from it, I'm going to do something for you. I'm going to restore the years that are wasted. I'm going to restore what the enemy has destroyed because I love you. Wait just a minute. That doesn't make sense to me, Brother Matt. That doesn't compute. How does that make any sense? To make sense in the natural. You know, that's the problem today. Everyone's trying to reason the spiritual things and biblical things with this natural mind. You got to get out of that mess or you're going to be deceived in the last day. So many people are saying, well, I just don't understand how God can do this. You don't have to understand. What you have to do is believe that he is God. He is supernatural. I don't understand how God has always been here and he always will be here. I just know the Bible says he's the Alpha, that's the beginning, and he is the Omega, that's the end. Do you believe that, preacher? You bet your life I believe it. Oh, do you really believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose the third day? I believe it with everything that is within me. You say, I just don't understand how God could show me that kind of mercy. I've been so bad. I've sinned over and over again. I'm going to tell you today, I don't understand the mercy of God. I just know it's high mercy. It's awesome mercy. God is a good God. It don't have to make sense to you. Just believe it. Stop reasoning in your hearts. Oh, stop trying to figure it out. Stop allowing that human mind to try. Oh, listen, you can't get deep enough for God. We're trying to philosophically figure this thing out. We're trying to dig too deep. What you need to know is the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The word works. It's real today. There is a God in heaven and there's a devil in hell. Well, I don't believe that, preacher. Well, I can tell you one day you're going to believe it because every knee's going to bow, every tongue's going to mind of God. We need to stop operating from the realm of the carnal mind. In Christ, all is new, even the calendar. Let me say that again. In Christ Jesus, all is new, even the calendar. The Lord goes back to the day the locust came. And he removes all those wasted years and starts counting again from the moment you repented. Are you serious? Absolutely. All those blessings you missed were stored up. All the joy, the peace, the revelations, the usefulness that you thought were dead and gone forever were actually kept by God. Well, Brother Matt, I'm still paying for my sin. The Bible never says that you won't have to go through some things. Listen, the law of sowing and reaping cannot be diminished. If you sow to the flesh, and it's going to be a whole lot better for you in the end than it ever was in the beginning. Oh, I know it doesn't make sense, but that's how our God is. He can cause everything to become brand new. Listen to me today. In hell, the damned may be haunted with a vision of what their lives could have been. Can you imagine that? They're thinking, because in hell, it's a place where the soul never dies. The soul of man is the memory, the imagination, the personality of a man. That man constantly, that woman, that boy, that girl, constantly thinks back to what they could have done and the opportunities they had and how they rejected God and how they could have been on fire for the Lord, but they chose the world. It's that constant living in regret. Listen, think about how that regret is constant in hell. But for the repentant man or woman on earth, it's not so. The word of the Lord says all will be restored. They never need again say, oh, what I missed, what I could have been. Oh, how much God had for me, but I blew it. No, God can restore all the wasted blessings. Listen, somebody in this house today needs to hear this. Somebody in this house today, you've been mulling and in your mind it's been like a grinding wheel over and over again what you could have done, and you think that it's too far gone. You wasted too much time. That's a lie that's been spawned and hatched in the incubators of hell, because I'm going to tell you today, God starts at the moment you repent and he begins to work deep within your life. Some of you are constantly thinking about all the things you did wrong, even in your Christian life. Listen, it's time that you get that mess behind you and start looking up. God is a God of miracles, and he wants to restore. It's going to be better. Stop wondering in wasted years, but my man, I don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. I hear this all the time. I don't deserve forgiveness. I don't deserve his mercy. Amen. None of us deserve his forgiveness. None of us deserve his mercy. And we think to ourselves, we get so natural and so carnal in our thinking that somehow or another we merit salvation. None of us in this house merit our salvation from the blood of Calvary. It's his mercy. He came looking for us. He loved us. We were lost and undone without God. I didn't deserve it, and nor will you ever deserve it. What you need to do is accept what the Bible says, because the Bible is right. Let all men be liars, but let God's word be truth. I'm telling you, I don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. But he looked beyond my fault and he saw my need. Isn't that wonderful? He looked beyond how disgusting we were, how sinful we were, and he didn't give us what we deserved. He gave us what we need. That's one of my most favorite songs. Dottie Rambo wrote that. You ought to pull it up on YouTube. Dottie Rambo singing it back in the 60s or 70s. He looked beyond my fault and he saw my need. How marvelous was the grace that caught my falling soul. Oh, listen, we were all lost and undone without God. We don't deserve it. You need to say it out loud. Say it in the car on the way home. Say it in the morning time at work and at night. But he looked beyond your fault and he saw your need. You need to accept it, walk in it, live in repentance, and God will restore the wasted years. How does he restore wasted years? I can tell you a few ways. I'm going to give you a few things the way God does it. Number one is basically going to cover everything, but I'm going to give you four. Number one, he just speaks the word. I said, he just speaks the word. He just says it. That's what God does. God speaks things into existence. God speaks the word. Now, I understand there's been some major deviation from the word of God when people just begin to speak things into existence. I speak $1 million into my bank account. Well, why isn't it taking place? Because, because of the lust of your flesh. I'm going to tell you something. They don't work that way. No more. Is he going to give you $1 million in that bank account? No more would Jesus turn stones into bread in front of the devil. No, he wants you to seek first the kingdom of God. Yes, he speaks the word. That's all he's got to do this morning. You say, well, it just seems too far gone to be helped. Listen to me, it ain't too far to be gone to be helped. All he's got to do is just say one word and it will take place. One word from the master. All he's got to do is speak healing to that physical body and you will have no more infirmities. All he's got to do is bring conviction to your husband and he will come back to the house. The word. In Genesis chapter 1 and 3, in creation, think about it. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. He just spoke the word. Genesis 1:6, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters and let it divide the waters from the waters. And it happened. Genesis 1:9, and God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together unto one place and the dry land appear. And it was so. Genesis 1:11, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And you can read it over and over again. And God said, and Jesus said, and he spoke the word. All he's got to do is, if we can pray at an old-fashioned altar, if I can intercede until the heavens are open, I'm going to tell you today, all God's got to do is say, let it be done, and it will be done. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, that's one of the ways that God restores the wasted years. Just speak the word. I know y'all wanted something a little bit deeper. But that's what he does. That's what he does. Number two, God can restore lost years by deepening your communion with Christ. Joel 2:27. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. By a deepening communion, whenever you become intimate with Jesus. Listen, that's what he longs from us, is intimacy. Brother Matt, how do I know if I'm saved today? Listen, I am saved. We don't believe in once saved, always saved. You bring me one scripture, I'll show you 100 to counter that false claim. I am saved, I'm being saved, and I'm going to be saved. How are you saved, preacher? I've got to abide in the vine. I am the branch, he is the vine. In John 15, he said, I'm the vine, you're a branches. Anytime the branch ceases to abide in me, it cast forth, it withers, it dies. In the last day, the angels come and they gather them dead branches and they cast them into the fire. There ain't no such thing as once in the vine, always in the vine. So how do I know when I'm ready to meet him? I walk with him. I talk with him. I am intimate with him. Whenever you repent and you have a relationship with Jesus, it ain't a 10-step program. Fall in love with Jesus and everything else will fall into place, and Almighty God will restore the wasted years. These people who have endured so much, these that have an intimacy with him, enjoy a communion with the Lord that is far greater than anything they ever had before in their religious lives. Christ can restore lost years by deepening your fellowship with him. Why not ask him for this? Because we're ashamed. Why not? Maybe because we don't have the faith. We need to tell the Lord, Lord, I have spent too many years without you, too many years at a distance from you. Fill my heart with love and gratitude for you, oh God. Let the loss of these years make my love for Christ greater than it's ever been before. Just tell the Lord, just ask him, Lord, will you restore the years that the locust and the canker worm have eaten? How many times have you asked the Lord that? Well, God's never done it for me. How many times for work than what we're allowing him to do in our life? He only operates when we operate in faith. Our part is believing. His part is the miracle. Are you believing God? Do you believe that he can restore the years that the locust and the cankerworm have eaten? Number three, God can restore lost years by multiplying your fruitfulness. 4 years, devastation, destruction. Just think if you didn't get to work for 4 years. 4 years you didn't get to work, what would happen? It'd be some trouble in the camp. Years ago, Sister Daniel and Brother Daniel invited us over to eat. I just got saved just about 25 years ago. And he said, y'all come back and anytime. And I said, you mean that? He said, well, sure. I said, well, I'm getting evicted Monday, so I'll be back Monday. I was kidding with him. But the point is, we'd all be evicted if we hadn't gone without work in 4 years. God can restore by multiplying your fruitfulness. The harvest for these people had been wiped out for 4 years, but God restored the years that the locusts have eaten by giving them a bumper harvest. What are you saying? I am saying he can give you more in 1 year than 10 years multiplied together. How can God restore the wasted years? How can he restore what the locust and the canker worm have eaten? I'm not just talking about monetary things, which that may be applicable. I'm talking about spiritual things. I'm talking about the relationship with your kids. You may be here today and say, I have failed as a father. Well, I can tell you, failure is not final. You say, well, it's too far gone. Look at my kids. They've gone so far in the world. Well, I can tell you this, God can give you a bumper harvest and you can get more fruit. Just ask if God we'll do it. Number four, God can restore lost years by bringing long-term gain from short-term loss. The effect of these great trials in your life will be that the tested genuineness of your faith. God wants to see, are you going to believe him? Everything we go through. Now, I'm going to tell you the fourth one again. God can restore lost years by bringing long-term gain by short-term loss. Sometimes we got to go through things to get to other things. Sometimes we got to lose some things to gain in the kingdom of God. I call it addition by subtraction. Now, it don't make sense because I never have been a mathematician. I've never been a super straight A student. But I can tell you something. In this kingdom, in the spiritual things of God, sometimes you got to lose some things to get some things. And God will allow us to lose out. He'll allow some things to be pulled away from us. And sometimes we have rope burns all over our hands because God's trying to pull something out of our hands and we're trying to hold on to it. Don't you dare take that from me. Listen, if you only knew what God's trying to give you, you would let it go, because sometimes God's got to take something from you to give to you. He wants to restore the years that the locust and the cankerworm have eaten. Yes, God wants to restore the wasted years. To get the miracle, we must believe God does it. Someone come to the piano. We can stand upright today as if we had never. We had no lost time, as if we were right where we would have been had the devourer never come. Do you hear that? We can stand right here, right now, in the affirmity of the finished work of Calvary, as if the enemy never even pulled us into that sinful life. God puts us right back on his divine schedule. His eternal purpose and plan are right where he planned them to be, and nothing is lost. I know what you're thinking, because I was thinking this too. I'm trying to think what you might be thinking at the end of this message. Well, Brother Matt, look back at my life and look at all the devastation. It just isn't there. The end of the book hasn't been written either. You hear me? I said the end of the story has not been written. The best is yet to come. I said, on God's calendar, and when it comes to the people of God, the best is yet to come. Well, I just see devastation. I don't see the handiwork of God. I don't see restoration. I don't see. All I see is a field that's been destroyed by those four destructive insects. I just don't see how God can do it. Oh, listen, then you're not going to receive it. What you got to know and believe that, but he will, because God loves us that much where he wants to restore. He don't just want to save you and preserve you in eternity. No, but he wants to restore right here, right now, the years that the locust and the canker worm have eaten. Well, Brother Matt, I just don't believe I could really be used of God. That's a lie. I'm too old. Not even close. I'm too young. You're just right. I'm too burn over like a burn over field. You're just right. Just right. God knows what he's doing. You say, I don't see the effects of restoration. My response to you is, the end of the story has not been written. The best is yet to come. Can we stand? The Lord God desires to pour out on all of us blessings and joys in Him that we missed earlier, yet He doesn't make it all up with outpourings alone. I don't want us to miss a very key point in this message today. The key to getting that restoration in a full change, restoration, the years that the locust, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm have eaten, is repentance. Repentance is not talked about in a lot of modern day churches, because repentance, let me tell you what repentance means. A lot of modern day churches, they just talk about confessing your sins. Confessing your sins. Listen, Jesus preached repentance. Peter preached repentance. Paul the apostle preached repentance. What does it mean to really repent? It means that you're so sorry for that sin, you cry out to God, and then you make a change. You walk away from it. You go a different direction. All this coming down to the altar. Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me, Jesus. Getting in the car and you made no effort to change anything. It's hogwash. It's an East Texas vernacular. I couldn't think of a good Greek word to use. It's hogwash. You didn't mean it. Repent. Get it under the blood. You know, repentance is the key to revival. We talk about revival. We use the cliches of revival constantly. Oh, revival. I was in the midst of the Brownsville revival. I don't care who says what. I was there. I was transformed by the Brownsville revival. I don't care. I mean, Clendon is my favorite preacher. He's the most influential man in my life. I don't think he was 100% for it, but I was there. I know what happened in my life in the Brownsville revival. We talk about revivals, Azusa Street. We talk about the Welsh revival, all these things. Repentance is the key. When the blood of Jesus Christ has been applied to your sinful heart, then we are candidates for the supernatural manifestations of the Holy Ghost. In the Old Testament tabernacle, everything's a pattern, a picture of Christ in the Old Testament. It was only when the priest went in one time a year into the most holy place and they made an atonement at the door of the tabernacle for their sins. They had to get their sins atoned for before they went. Took the blood of that lamb and they sprinkled upon the altar, but between the two cherubims. It was then that the glory filled the most holy place. The Shekinah, which means the visible, a manifestation. Shekinah means a visible manifestation. The cloud came down only when the blood has been applied. Do you hear me today? That is the key to revival. And that is the key to attracting the attention of God to restore the years that the locust and the cankerworm have eaten. It's more than just these little cardinal sins that we can name out loud. It's sins of the heart. It's pride. It's selfishness. It's jealousy. I would ask how many jealous folks we got in this house, but usually that's one that no one admits to. Sins of the heart. Get it under the blood. Not only do you want to see a mighty manifestation of God's healing, you want to see healings whenever God would send people in here with wheelchairs and cancer and see God manifest. Is the key. Prayer, seeking His face, but repentance is the major prerequisite to revival, and it is the prerequisite to restoring the years that the locust, the cankerworm, the palmer worm, the caterpillar have eaten. Paul says this, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul says this, you know, if Paul was so wrapped up in his sinful past, he would never wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Because Paul, his name used to be Saul. Saul used to kill Christians. Do you know that? He used to kill Christians. He used to imprison Christians. I wonder what would happen if Paul, his name was changed to Paul, if he mulled over his past and what he had done so wrong. How could God forgive me? He didn't. And he stood on the finished work of Calvary. Somebody in this house today, you need to make up your mind. You're going to stand on the finished work of Calvary. You're looking at your life and you just don't understand how God could forgive you. That's the enemy condemning you. He's bringing false accusation against you because once it's under the blood, it's under the blood. God forgets about it. Not only does he forget about it, but he says, I'm not only going to write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, I'm going to bring a restoration to you. I'm going to give you everything back. I'm going to give you everything back that was destroyed because of your sin. That is an awesome God. Hallelujah to the Lamb that was slain. Satan's favorite harassment is to bring up your old past. Don't let him do it. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. Father, I've preached what you put in my spirit today to preach. You knew who was going to be in this house. And Lord, you're drawing them today with cords of love. I thank you for conviction. I thank you for love. I thank you, Lord, that you not only forgive us, but your mercy is extended to a level that's beyond human comprehension. We don't have to understand your mercy. We don't have to understand your goodness. But what you do require of us to just believe it. What the Word of God says, we're going to believe. There's somebody in this house, maybe several, that are away from God. Lord, I know you want to save them today. I'm about to give an invitation for you that are away from God. If there's anybody in this house, God loves you. Don't run from him. Don't run from the Lord. He wants to save you right here, right now. Every head bowed, no one look around. If there's anybody in this house with been born again, maybe you're a backslider, you're in this house, I want you to raise that hand up high. I want to pray with you. Anyone in this house? Anyone in this house? I see no hands. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Everyone in this house is ready to meet God. That is wonderful. Praise the name of the Lord. The others in this house, and I believe I'm preaching to every person in this place today. Every one of us. I have seen God do this work in my life, and he's continuously doing it. I am not going to live in my past. I am not going to live in my past. I am going to forget those things and press toward the mark. I want everyone to come that can physically make their way to this altar. We're going to stand around this altar this morning. There's going to be a difference in somebody's life today. You've made some major bad decisions. Welcome to the club. Welcome to my world. We've all made bad decisions. But God can restore the years that the locusts and the cankerworm have eaten. Can we move in close to this altar? We've got a lot of folks coming. I believe there's going to be something that takes place at this altar today. That takes place at this altar today. God's going to do a deep work. It's time. If there's anything you need to repent over, repent over it. But it's time that we start asking and expecting. The end of the story has not yet been written. I don't care what it looks like. My kids are so far gone, preacher. You just don't know. It's getting worse and worse and worse. Ask my mama about me. She told me when I was 20 years old, I told her, I said, a few more months, I'm going to hit every bar in Tyler. I'm going to get drunk every day. I told my Holy Ghost filled mama that. And she looked at me. She said, you're never going to make it. I said, oh yeah, I am. Why you say that? She said, you're going to get saved first. I said, before I turn 21? She said, yep. And her and Sister Daniel and Sister Cannon ganged up on me. Sister Dowdy, great honor to do her funeral. She just went to heaven. Sister Dowdy, Sister Cannon, Sister Daniel, and my mama ganged up on me. It wasn't fair, but they prayed for me and they prayed me in. And you think it's too far gone? You better think again. My brother Matt is so messed up. You better think again. You just wait to see what God has planned for you. I want you to reach over. Pray for the person beside you. A man praying for a man. A woman praying for a woman. Unless it's your family. Move in close. It's time that we start looking at things a little bit different. Stop moaning and believe God. He's going to restore the years that the locusts and the cankerworm have eaten. Oh God. Lord, you see every heart, every life in this house. Mighty
let
God.
Him breathe on you.
Yes, Lord.
Holy you Ghost. Are not a mistake.
You see the great devastation that sin has left. Lord, maybe even the judgments of God have come on the people of God because you want them to get right with you, get on a street called straight. Hallelujah. Lord, I ask you today, give them faith to believe. Lord, for every son and daughter that's away from you that the devastation of sin has brought, I cry out to you, Lord. Restore the years the locusts and the cankerworm have eaten. If there's anyone in this house that's wasted their life, maybe because of their decisions they've destroyed their, you can do a work that's beyond the human comprehension. Oh God. Oh Lord, we look to you. You are a healer. You are a deliverer. You are a miracle worker. There is nothing that you cannot do, oh God. I cry out to you today, mighty God. Come on, church. I want you to really pray for that person beside you. Oh, yes. Ask the Lord to restore the years that have been destroyed by the enemy because of decisions, because of sin. Oh, mighty God.
The broken heart.
Thank you, Jesus. You can do a quick work, Lord. I know time is running out, but you can do a quick work. You can give us a bumper harvest, oh God. Oh, yes, Jesus.
He can give you peace.
Oh, yes, Lord.
When you don't have the strength.
Go ahead and ask him. It's a shame to ask him. He loves you.
Jesus does.
God loves you. He has a plan for your life.
That's what Jesus does. Jesus, oh, how he loves. So let him hold you. Let him breathe on you.
Go ahead.
You are not a mistake.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Do not be afraid.
Oh, God.
Let Jesus love you.